No matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I am Jill. Today is the 28th, need my glasses, 28th day of October. Welcome, everyone. Don't get old. I don't recommend it. Other than the grandkids. The grandkids are magical, but the rest of it is, well, I'm still chasing that chicken. Haven't been able to catch him yet. That says an awful lot. It is so good to be here with you. I'm Jill on this 28th day of October. Welcome, everyone. Boy, it's a joy to be here, and boy, we are winding this month down. We literally just started October. It feels like 2 days ago. And here we are making our way towards the end of the first month of the last quarter of the year. Don't need to state the obvious, but time flies. We must be having fun. I'm having a ball. I love being here with you in this space, and I'm grateful and I'm honored to be a part of your spiritual journey in this capacity. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Thank you for showing up and allowing the Word of God to speak to you for whatever reason that you are here. It is the right reason. And you are doing the right thing by knowing the God of the faith that you believe in, by knowing His Word, to know Him real, intimately, knowingly, and to be known real and intimately by Him is such an incredible feeling. Today we're going to read Luke chapters 16 through chapter 17, and we will end today at verse 10. This week we're reading the New Revised Standard Version updated edition, Luke chapter 16. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly, for the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with a dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth.' The Pharisees, who were lovers of money, heard all this, and they ridiculed him. So he said to them, 'You are those who justify yourselves in the sight of others, but God knows your hearts. For what is prized by humans is an abomination in the sight of God. The law and the prophets were until John came. Since then, the good news of the kingdom of God is being proclaimed, and everyone tries to enter it by force. But it is easier for heaven and earth to pass away than for one stroke of a letter in the law to be dropped. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames." But Abraham said, "Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus, in like manner, evil things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Jesus said to his disciples, "Occasions for sin are bound to come, but woe to anyone through whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to sin. Be on your guard. If a brother or sister sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you seven times a day and turns back to you seven times and says, 'I repent,' you must forgive." The apostle said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink'? Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" Okay, so today we have the narrative from the Gospel of Luke that we have read in the previous Gospel. But one little point to make here today. There's a concept in our faith that we think sometimes we need more faith. We need greater faith. We need them to have greater faith. We need their faith to match our faith. But let's take note of how Jesus responds to his apostles today when they're asking Jesus to show them how to increase their faith. Now, before we read that, let me just say there's some really bad theology, really bad teachings out there, that if you increase your faith, and if you do so by increasing your tithe, that God will reward you and he will bless you even greater. Now, if that's true, If you've done that and that's true for you, that's great. I will not argue with you. But when we use examples like that as a theology, as if it stands alone in the Bible, we are doing a disservice to the Bible. I can't find any teaching anywhere that says if you increase your faith and if you increase your gift and your tithe, then you will be financially blessed, beyond rich. I can't do it. It's not there. It's a prosperity gospel, but it's not the gospel. And I'm sure it's making someone rich somewhere. And I would go out on a limb here and say that the person teaching it, it's making them far more rich than you are by giving it. But as it comes to a means of faith, more faith, you got to get rid of that fear and increase your faith. Faith over fear. Fear and faith can absolutely sit side by side. You can hold them in the same hand. I can have faith and trust that God will take care of me on this flight back home over the ocean, that I'm not going to think about being on an airplane over the water for that long. And I can also be very, very afraid because I am not in control. And one failed move and I am shark bait. And it is okay for me to admit that I am fearful of what I cannot control. That does not mean that danger is imminent. It means danger is potential. Fear warns us of the risk of potential danger. Where it becomes a problem is when we let fear stop us. We are paralyzed by fear. Therefore, we do not follow through. Trust is required. The apostles asked Jesus, "Show us how to increase our faith." The Lord answered, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you." Now, I can't formulate that. I can't give you the formula, the right words, the right prayer to say, this is how you uproot that mulberry tree into the water and let it plant itself. That would be absolutely miraculous. But what I can say is that to know God and to trust God for who He is and surrendering our ways and our pride and our agenda and our control, all things are possible with Him. All things. It is far less about fear and far more about trust and belief. And the truth is, we so often believe it for everyone else except for ourselves. But sometimes, boy, we cut God off at the front door. You're crazy for asking or believing for that. Yeah, you betcha. And are there days that you believe and some days you just can't find it? Absolutely. Doubt comes in. And the great thing is, God can handle our doubts. He knows. He knows before we even say it. He knows before we even ask. He has to know. And He asks us to trust Him despite. Jesus, we say that we trust You, but I challenge that belief within our own selves today. Many of us, God, have been inflicted by fears that are not our own. And it has led us to places where fear and anxiety have kept us burning for far too long. We can't trust anyone, let alone say that we trust You. we are pleasing people so much because we are so afraid of displeasing them because of the wrath, because of the guilt, because of the manipulation. Father, I pray that we would all relinquish those things, all those that are struggling. We relinquish fear and anxiety that is not ours. Fear that would not just keep us from the potential of harm, but fear that paralyzes us from doing and being who you've called us to be and doing that which you have called us to do. If you call us, you will go with us. And the only way that we can fail is if we say no. Oh, for grace to trust you more. May we know who and what our trust is in. We praise you. We thank you for being faithful and trustworthy, constant and dependent and reliable, and for being present with us in every situation. We love you and we worship you. I pray this all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.